Hi, Samaya. Good evening.
Hi, Samaya. Good evening.
How are you doing, Yalka?
Better. How are you today?
Baruch Hashem. Right now, you're the only one. Do you want to start or you want to wait?
Oh, we can wait a little while. It's just 1 minute past.
Okay.
We can wait. I have a question.
I do. Go ahead.
The is yeast extract a leavening agent? Yeast extract.
I'm not understanding the E extract. You're talking about the
East, as an East extract. You know, you read that on some of the labels. Is that considered a leavening agent?
Yeast, yes.
Okay.
Yeast is part of being chametz.
But it says yeast extract.
It means it's yeast. It's yeast. They're
okay.
Extracting the yeast, but it's essentially it's yeast.
Okay.
I believe somebody else came on.
I don't know. Randall. Randall.
Welcome, Brandy.
It's Brandy. Hey, it's me.
It's nice to hear from you still.
Thank you.
So we are going to begin the Zohar study for the Parasha of Noah from the Sulam commentary. We're in section 33, and we're going to start with Pasuk 257. V'shem Yehud kutsha barichu ishkin te'bid hilu urhimu urhilu urhilu urhimu. V'yakta v'shem yudhe bavavhe. V'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Hinei anak. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu. Kanonei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanonehu. Ashrei nesu pasha teha b'shata tekudsha barichu. At kel chove v'zayachvan divne nasha tehahu tikla v'vistar kovin mistalkin v'inun ocharamin zachyan v'inun Tikla b'achara mekirin l'tata Dahu nasu pasha. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. This means that when the Holy One, blessed be he, weighs the sins and the merits of men, transgression is forgiven when the merits overcome the sins and are pulled downward on the scale. This means that he has more merits than sins. When this happens, his transgression is forgiven. Questions, comments. thoughts.
Well, you know, we all fall short and sinners, but I think if we follow the truth of the spoken word of the Zohar or the Torah, we can somewhat, I guess, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but somewhat can say that we may have banked some merits. Don't know if that, we never know if we have enough merits to cover our sins. And vice versa, sometimes we don't think that we sin when we really do, you know.
That's correct.
So it's always challenge. It's a challenge to know how you're doing on the scales, you know, which way it's balancing. Is there some hidden?
Go ahead.
Is there some way, a secret that we don't know of that we can understand that balance, that scale, in a better mind frame?
The sages teach us to have the consciousness that with the action that we are doing now, the mitzvah we are doing right now, that mitzvah is putting the whole universe into the balance of positivity. By us doing that mitzvah, whatever it is at that moment, our consciousness is that that's what tips the scales to the side of merit. And to keep us from doing a sin, we have to have the consciousness that doing that sin is going to tip us to the side of sin, the side of demerit. But if we have that consciousness, then we will do the right thing. It's when we don't have that consciousness that we fall to the sin. There's no shortcut to knowing what is the scale. But if we have the attitude to be concerned about it, that attitude is what brings us to the side of merit. Should I go on to verse 258, or do you want to stay in with this one?
You can go on my part.
Okay. Verse 258. Kisu chata v'shata yedina sharya Bialma dehe tehafya bilayishlot alo mechabila kima dehawa leno ach ekase leya kuchabarichu mehahu hata'a Yam Shish Aleya Adam Al Alma Dekawan Dahata Da Angin Gid Adam Al Alma Shear Boyan Shaltam Uvar Nash Dahil Minaihu The Alma Lai Akin, the Tikuneya, Ugin Kach kadafa noach kitevuta kuchabarihu birkeya vikati viyavarech Elohim et Noach v'et banav v'gomer. The verse, whose sin is covered, means that when judgment prevails in the world, sin should be covered so that the angel of destruction does not take control of it. This is what happened with Noah during the flood. When the Holy One, blessed be He, shielded him from Adam's sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that Adam brought down upon the world. Because the angel of destruction did not see Noah, he was unable to take hold on him and punish him. But because Adam brought sin upon the world, we find that the other creatures were given control. The human being is afraid of them, and the world has not reached perfection. So when Noah left the ark, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed him as it is written. And Elohim blessed Noah and his sons. And also, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the field, which means that his form became like that of Adam before the sin of the tree of knowledge, when all the creatures feared him. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So, wow. Noah was basically like like the creation of Adam with the the elevation of the soul, I guess, in Noah and his children, where they took control over the beast again. Again, of course, the animals were not afraid of him because of that higher elevation of the soul that he implanted in them. Would that be like the Ruach that they obtained? We have the Nefesh and then the Ruach, or is it the Neshama that they've obtained?
The animals do not attain Neshama.
No, people, I mean, no.
When
Noah.
Noah attained the level of Neshama. That's why he was called a Tzaddik.
Okay.
He and his children had nishamot, and that's why the animals were afraid of him.
Okay. So it's kind of like a rebirth, basically, of the souls.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Now, what is it, when you go back to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Ask your question.
When you say that the angel of death could not take hold of them, what exactly does the angel of death do when it comes to past judgment? I mean, is it a... I know it's a destruction, but is it a... I know it's a flood, the waters from the heavens and the waters from below. It kind of melted them, basically. Okay. So is that what it's meant by the angel could not take hold of them? It's like some sort of plague of some sort of, episode that happens.
Every sin that you do, and you were part of the sin of Adam, so that is, until that's fully corrected, you have a connection to the sin of Adam and Eve. And that sin is an opening to the Satan to take control of your soul, of your neshama. That's what it's describing. The neshama was connected to the soul of Adam. I mean, the neshama was of Noah was there, and Satan would have been able to take control of the of that soul if Noah, Hashem had not hidden that neshama from the sight of the Satan. That's what it's saying. Okay. Let's go to verse 259.
Okay.
We atem peru urbu behane birkam la ishtakahu nukve ela et noach et banav aval nukve la amar sara maribi shimon veata Siatem kalala di kure benukve kachada. Vitu et noach liiska'a nukveya. Ve et banal viiska'a nukve bilchom. And you, be fruitful and multiply. He raised the issue that women do not seem to be included in these blessings, as the verse mentions only Noah and his sons, but not women. Rabbi Shimon said that the term "and you," with an added vav, which means "and," indicates that the males and the females were both included. The letter Vav that appears here indicates the female principle. Not only that, but in the verse, and Elohim blessed Noah, the unnecessary word et, which is the name of the female principle, is mentioned here to indicate Noah's wife. And in the line, and et his sons, the particle et is used to indicate that their wives are included. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I guess that tells me they had many children. I know Noah's son. Noah did not have any other children, due to the fact that his son did not want him to have other children. So, and I would think that would go to the toward the animals as well.
That is true.
Because they only brought, you know, a certain amount of animals with them. So everything was included, animals and Noah and his children and his sons. And wives.
And his wives.
Yeah, and wives. So. Is there more to that verse that I'm not seeing, or?
No.
Should I ask a question?
No, that's the major part of the verse. That whenever you see the et all at the top, which on one level is represents the grammar, that et actually represents the idea of the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah is relative to, you know, all men, they have their malchut. which is the Shekhinah for them. So that's mm-hmm. what the message is all about in the verse. So I'm going to now complete the section by doing verse 260.
Okay.
Ugin kach ketiv v'atem paru uru l'merbad toldot mikan uchala shartu meret hach v'chama Yahev lon tu chabrihu. Sheva pekudei olaita lon ukol biatu avatrehu adikaimu Yisrael betura tefinai biatu. Ve'it yahav lon kol pekudei. O'aita tachada. Because it is written, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply, propagate your kind. We know that women were also blessed, and from here onward bring forth abundantly in the earth, in which the Holy One, blessed be He, gave them all of them who followed after the seven precepts of the Torah. When Israel stood on Mount Sinai, they were given all the precepts of the Torah together. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So, did they get, I'm not quite understanding that verse. I want to say that they got these seven Noahide laws. Or,
that's what it's referring to, the seven mitzvot.
Yeah. So, okay, can you explain that to me a little better than what my thought pattern is?
Well, the
it's kind of like to me, they didn't get the, you know, like Mount Sinai, you know, Shem gave them, came down and gave them the Ten Commandments, you know, the Ten Utterance.
Right.
And I guess I'm thinking along the same line as Noah, they got the seven utterance, you know.
Yes, but not in the same way. They didn't get it in a miraculous way.
Right, not in the same way, but they did get those instructions or utterance, I guess.
Right. Right, and the seven Noahide laws are categories, just like the were the 613 mitzvot that we received. They are specific. The Noahide laws are categories, are general. They only have the seven, but within the seven, there are a lot of specifics. And that has to be studied.
So how did they, who gave them those? I mean, how did they receive those?
Through meditation, through prophecy.
Okay, through prophecy, all right.
Hashem was speaking to Noah, and he gave it to them at that time.
Okay. So actually, it was a foreshadow of what was to come at the, you know, in the wilderness when they were receiving the Torah. How about that, you know?
I'm not sure what your question is.
I'm just saying that was kind of a foreshadow as to what the Israelites were going to receive at Mount Sinai.
That's correct. That is correct.
A big event.
That's what the flood was.
Wow.
It was a cleansing so that people could,
wow,
everybody could start over.
Right. That's right. Wow. That is, So, was Noah supposed to be somewhat of a Mashiach?
He was the Mashiach. That's correct.
Okay.
He was the last generation that could have completed this, the tikkun for the sin of Adam by himself. That's what
right.
the Mashiach represented in his generation.
Okay.
But in the next 10 generations, from Noah to Abraham, it would take a whole family to achieve the correction, a whole family working together.
So that's where the family comes in. It was individuals until that point after Noah, then it became a family. Then it became a community.
Correct.
Then it became a nation. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Wow.
But tomorrow we will start with section 34.
Okay.
So I will, hopefully, and we'll have about 7 o'clock tonight, we'll count the Omer. And depending on how much time we have, we'll continue to either read Shaar Kedushah or we will do a Tikkuni Zohar, depending on how much time we have after the counting. So, shalom to everyone.
Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you all.